Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets' Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Larson, we're at 182,000, like 350.
Yeah, we had
right
a
now.
Pretty major jump this
so
week.
So I think that's a huge cushion. And I know we announced earlier in the week that we're going to be doing our live stream today, our sub-party live stream. However, unfortunately, one of us is under the weather. It's this guy. And on top of that, we wanted to make kind of a big deal about our plans for this particular sub-party. So right now, it looks like, because next week we're going to be gone, we're still going to be producing content, a lot of really great stuff that we can't talk about right now.
Yes.
But when we get back, October 3rd, we have
Interdimension Tension
in the human year 2017, which is, of course, the big blow-off, the inter-brand WSTW Fun WGPW Wrestling event. And then that's on a Tuesday, 2 days after that, on October the 5th, we're going to have our big sub party featuring gameplay for Virtual Pro Wrestling 64. This is a huge game in the history of Steven Larson because we have never played it. We were huge marks for the N64 games back in the day.
Yes.
WCW, NWO World Tour, Revenge, No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000. And this is sort of this, and then the sequel are sort of the missing link. So I bought this off of eBay. It's like in pristine condition, too.
I know. It's like got the original packaging and everything.
I got the adapter for the N64.
It's right there.
We have not
played it.
We have not played this. We have not done it. All right? And so we are going to do this live. And if it doesn't work, we'll just hop on 2K17 or maybe we'll play some World Tour. I don't know.
Play some No Mercy.
No Mercy. There you go.
Oh, yeah. World Tour. We'll do a base hit tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
In a while.
So, you guys are going to either watch us succeed or watch us fail at getting this thing to work. I mean, honestly, it's a matter of popping it on the N64, seeing if it works. And we're going to have subs as part of our live sub party.
Yes.
Very,
I don't think we've decided
excited.
Where we're getting subs from yet, have we?
No, we haven't made that decision yet. We have not decided.
I shouldn't make that decision now because I am starving. I am hungry. I did not bring lunch today. I don't have a car.
Yeah.
So I have to wait till I get home to have anything to eat. You were kind enough to let me eat one of your protein bars.
Yeah, I should tide you over. Yeah, you're good. You're good to go.
I mean, my blood sugar won't drop, so that's good.
No, that is good.
But it's not going to satisfy the hunger that's happening within me right now.
Yeah, well, I've got a hunger for some N64 gameplay. The freaking roster in this
thing we have to wait another couple weeks for that, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll do it. So anyways, that's very exciting. We're going to be hyping the crap out of that. We're trying to get a big audience for that.
Yes.
So that'll be a lot of fun. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 32 people watching right now, all making fun of my voice problem, my vocal issues right now.
They're you're a bit under the weather.
They're saying I'm Johnny Ace, Steve Power as opposed to Purple Power. I'm
People Power.
Purple Power. What is Purple Power? What is that?
I don't know.
Weird. Anyways. Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyways, we're not here to talk about all that, though, Larson. We're here to talk about
205 Live and NXT.
205 Live, that is correct.
Once again, entertaining shows.
Yeah.
Let's start with 205 Live, as we do.
Yeah, let's.
The show kicked off with a match between Cedric Alexander versus Brian Kendrick.
In the dark, I do alone.
So last week, they were supposed to have a match. Jack Gallagher came out, interfered on behalf of Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
Causing a disqualification victory for Cedric.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, we finally got the one-on-one match between them.
Right.
Good match.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic match. These guys don't put on bad matches.
No.
It's great. They don't put on bad matches.
Cedric eventually wins with a roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cedric walks up the ramp. Kendrick starts talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric starts talking back.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick starts making his way up the ramp. Gallagher attacks Cedric from behind.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal, vicious beatdown, yeah, culminating in a headbutt that Cedric sold really well.
Yeah, no, it was good. I liked it a lot. I like this new vicious Jack Gallagher. Wasn't huge on his interview later on, but we can talk about that in a bit. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like he's like evil. He's like wearing his little dapper suit and everything.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to like, because I'm kind of waiting to see what they do with his music. If he's going to like,
oh, come at the same
change
music.
It to a more foreboding.
Yeah.
British
he should probably change
theme.
His trunks too.
Yeah. What's on his
because trunk? He has like the brightly colored stripes on,
oh, yeah,
on the brown trunks.
It should be like a Superman 3 thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know,
muted
same,
colors.
Just everything. It's like same, but muted.
Muted or darker.
Exactly. And then like, you know, the like have that be like.
Yeah. Backwards, slow down. Menacing.
He's just demonic all of a sudden. He's satanic Jack Gallagher.
In the Titantron, they show a close-up of him and his eyes are red.
I know.
Because he's imbued with satanic
I just
powers
like this,
now.
Man. Just put on that Titantron, that picture of him as a clown. Anyway, so yeah, they go backstage and he gives an interview. And I don't know. I just felt like I want more Anton Chigurh from him as opposed to like true motivation as to why he's evil. I mean, I like motivation. What did he say in this interview exactly? He said... what was his motivation for going bad?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so it couldn't have been very, what was it?
Let's pop it on. Let's watch it real fast. I don't remember. I should have made a note of it. Usually I do.
Somebody in chat on Patreon, let us know what he said. Crap.
Why are we both drawing? This is not a good look for us, Steve.
I said I didn't like it, and I can't remember what it was. That's terrible.
He just blocked it out entirely.
Oh, JT Hussey, really? He says he was tired of being the joke?
That's not very good motivation.
That's not very good. If that's true, it's not. It's not.
I mean, he can do that and not turn heel.
Yeah. He can just like stop being a parody of a British person. I don't know, man. Let's hopefully somebody in chat will figure that out. Anyways, next up we had a Drew Gulak promo.
Oh, this was great.
This was fantastic because he was talking about, you know, I'm not going to let the fashion police interrupt me this time.
He was standing on the announce table.
I love that he's like in fully formed politician. Like there's no, and that I think was this last week too. He got changed music. They changed his music, and
I think last week it was his old music.
Oh, was okay. They changed his music this week because it's not the same as it was before. So Hossack says he didn't want to be the joke any longer, which means Kendrick got to him after a while. It's crappy motivation. Here, Alex C says. He watched Bronson and realized that it was a way cooler gimmick than Gentleman. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like full Bronson.
Yeah.
Shave the head. Keep the mustache. Yeah. Come out in like those, because he has those MMA kind of.
He has his.
The bare knuckle gloves.
This taped up.
But
yeah.
Then like no shirt. He just walks around like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Anyways. Drew Gulak's great again. He continued on with his...
Yeah, he got through one more slide, which was no cell phones.
No cell phones.
Of course, everybody in the audience produced their cell phone and turned the light on.
I think the clip already uses a flip phone, too.
I know.
They all did the light on their cell phone. He was getting... In anybody else's hands, I feel like this would have been one of those moments where people just were starting to sleep through.
He got the entire arena chanting Tozawa's chant.
That's right, yeah. And that's
the entire arena.
And he brought up Tozawa's chant. He said no.
He came out with a no chanting sign.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, so that was good. And then he sat down at the announce desk to commentate on Akira Tozawa's match against Noam Dar.
Another really good match.
And his commentary is great because he would just run down Vic Joseph. It was fantastic. Nigel McGuinness is fantastic,
yeah, he's
too.
Good.
Nigel McGuinness is great because he's got this fool Drew Gulak standing on the announce table, and I look down at Nigel McGuinness like,
mm-hmm.
He's all like, oh, he's making
and then
good
every
points.
Once in a while, he'd look over to Vic and look up at, right. at Drew.
Exactly.
Like, he wasn't just like sitting there reading his notes.
Nigel McGuinness seems like he's having such a good time as heel commentator. I feel like he's really found his voice. Like, it was kind of touch and go there for a little bit, especially on NXT. But by the time he hit 205 Live, I thought he was really, really
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So, well, he's kind of a subtle heel announcer.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He's overtly all the time heelish.
No, he's so good, though. He seems like he's having such a good time.
I like they're letting Noam Dar do more of his submission based wrestling.
Mm hmm.
Because he busted out some crazy submission moves on Tozawa last night.
Yeah,
Tuesday night.
That was a really fun match, too.
Tozawa picked up the win with a top rope senton. Fun match.
I like this feud.
Both the matches were really fun.
Last week. And what's his face? Drew Gulak, he was running down Titus Worldwide as well. So I'm glad that they're still sort of inserting that.
Yeah.
Given that Titus Worldwide has sort of taken a step back.
Yeah, ever since Tozawa lost the Cruiserweight title.
Right, exactly. So, that was a really fun match. And I like that they're putting Drew Gulak and Akira Tozawa into a thing.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes, me too.
Next up, we had Rich Swann and TJ Perkins backstage. TJP still kind of upset about that loss, but a bit more diplomatic about it.
But
last
he still
week.
Wants one more match.
Yeah, and so he says, hey, one more match. And Rich Swann says, I'm about to throw down with my buddy Lince Dorado. We had our time. Let's just leave it at that.
Yes.
Like, he got kind of serious
I know,
with him. He
I
says,
know.
Let's just leave it at that. No more matches.
Yeah.
TJP.
So we're several months into TJP's evolution mm-hmm. as a character, as a performer on the mm-hmm. microphone. And when you were pooping on his performance, I was like, give him time. He needs more reps.
Oh my! Why are you turning in this to I was right, you were wrong?
Because I was right.
Oh my goodness! I don't think you ever said give him time. He needs more.
That's
reps.
Exactly what I said. Oh. I said I don't think he has enough experience on the mic. Give him time.
Maybe you're right. I do kind of recall you saying that. So whatever. Why didn't you bust that? I've been singing his praises for like 2 months now. Why did you bust that out before?
In my favor before I bust that out because yeah,
you just like to kick me when I'm down. I'm sick. I'm infirmed.
So
kick me now. My goodness gracious!
It's just the mood I'm in today.
What did I ever
deal
do
with
to
it?
You? What did I ever do? that's the mood you're in. Kick Steve when he's down.
Yeah.
I have this idiot voice. Whenever I try to scream, I go like super high and weird, like I'm still going through puberty. Anyways.
Anyway, so that led to Rich Swann versus Lince Dorado, except it didn't.
No, it didn't actually happen. They cut
so,
to...
Rich Swann comes out to the ring. He's ready to get the match started. They cut backstage, as you were saying. Someone beat up Lince Dorado.
Yeah, was it Cass or was it Lince Dorado beating up on himself again? Like Cass did? No.
He knows, no. It seems like it was probably TJ Perkins.
Yeah, probably, because Rich Swann goes back to investigate and see what's going on with that, and he literally had his head taken off with a freaking super
kick.
Yeah,
he was about
TJP.
To go around the corner to go backstage, and he was met with a vicious super kick from TJP.
Mm-hmm.
TJP beats him up a little bit, pulls out a chunk of his hair,
yeah,
and then takes him over to like the barricade area and drops him on it.
James Rodriguez here in chat makes the point. So Steve couldn't remember what happened on 205 Live 2 nights ago. How could he remember what Larson said 3 months ago? Because that's Larson's answer to everything, is wait and see. Wait and see. No, I want snap judgments, Larson. This is pro wrestling. Snap judgments.
No.
He also has a good
point. Even when I make snap judgments, I say, but I'll give it time to see how it plays out.
I literally watched 205 Live yesterday. It wasn't even two nights ago. It was yesterday.
Yeah, I watched 205 Live last night.
Yeah, so you're worse than me in that case then. All right.
The final segment of the show was not a wrestling match. It was Neville and Enzo face to face. Neville almost said Nenzo.
Nenzo.
Neville is a treasure.
Neville is an absolute treasure. Oh my goodness!
The way he was leaning into Enzo.
Oh, it was great.
Berating him.
It was fantastic. Look at yourself. And I love. Here's the thing. And this is why I titled this episode of the podcast. Is Enzo on 205 Live? Has it worked? I'm into this.
Yeah.
And the great thing is, Enzo will say things, and Neville's work has been so solid that the crowd has been checking wrestlers. The crowd has been fact checking wrestlers left and right these days. Enzo has been victim, but he's been exposed to this because last night he said, or 2 nights ago, whatever it was. What was the thing that he said? He said something that the crowd started like, oh no, because Neville said something along the lines of Enzo was talking about like what he does bring to the table, which is celebrity hanging out with rappers.
Yeah,
and the
crowd was
booing all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Neville brought up the fact that Enzo's not a good wrestler and the crowd cheered that.
Yeah. Well, and Neville brought up the fact that he didn't care about any of that stuff.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Enzo
and the crowd cheered the crap out of
that.
Well,
in the end, when Enzo kicked Neville in the man bits, the crowd booed.
The crowd booed that. I love that entire thing, even in terms of Enzo's work,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I really like this entire story they're putting around Enzo because Neville is the heel. But in this case, He's totally the face.
He's the heel that makes good points.
Exactly. And that's the best kind of heel, evidently. Exactly. Like, we've seen that over and over again.
It's the most enjoyable heel to watch.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. We already did our predictions video for No Mercy. You already made your prediction. It's set in stone. We can't change it. Following the events of 205 Live last night, do you still feel confident in your pick?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, I understand the math involved. I know that Enzo stood tall.
Not just that, just Neville explicitly saying, essentially, I know all the tricks. It's not going to be enough.
I do think that that's going to happen. Although, God. I honestly don't know where the crowd is, to be honest with you. I don't know where the crowd is. Enzo comes out, they pop. Neville starts talking, they pop.
I know.
So I don't know who they consider. I mean, if I want to go, if it was me and I want to go with the story, I am going to do the title change because I think with 205 Live, you need a sense of urgency. I know they're able to draw these feuds out longer, but there seems to always be the great thing about a lot of this 205 Live stuff is that they draw these feuds out, but they never seem to be resting on their laurels during the feuds.
I can only think of one feud that went way too long, and that was the love triangle, Noam Dar, Cedric Alexander, Alicia Fox thing. That went on way too long, but it was never boring.
Yeah, it did. It did go on too long. I think there were a couple weeks when they did get repetitive, but the fact that we're bringing that up kind of illustrates that we never really brought that up with any of the other feuds,
I know.
And so this is the kind of thing where I think they're going to, I'm not sure how many more weeks we can get Enzo chasing the title. I'm not sure how realistic it is because they also made a really, really big point this week of emphasizing Cedric Alexander, you know, dispatching everybody with all those lumbar checks during the number one contendership match. And so I just don't know. I mean, if this was main roster and, like, you know, it was what we see with SmackDown lately with, like, just repetition, I would be more inclined to say, yeah, they're going to, or they would wait a while.
But also, I think when we were doing our predictions video yesterday, you said to me that that I tend to think that WWE will let feuds last longer than they typically do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I typically think, oh, maybe they'll actually extend this feud out and actually build it to a crescendo at some point, whereas a lot of times they'll just say, all right, we're going to do this, let's move on, or we'll do this to get some shock factor, and then we'll, you know, undo what we did, a la Tozawa winning the Cruiserweight title, which from all indications was done on Raw just to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you drifted back to the 50-50 area in terms of you don't know, as opposed to yesterday when you were more along
the lines? No, I still feel like Neville will win.
Yeah, okay.
They'll draw this out for another month.
Yeah.
That TLC, the home match. Imagine they have a ladder match for the Cruiserweight title between Enzo and Neville.
Oh, I don't know if they'd ever go there. I mean, you want to extra expose how, like, not great Enzo is in the ring?
No,
I
think if you do it in a ladder match, it will require less from a technical standpoint from Enzo. He can just use weapons.
That's a good point.
And what better way to kind of even the odds if you can't cheat to win than just use weapons to win?
My thing is this. I think also, now that I think about it a little bit more, I think the go-home segment was so strong last night.
Oh, it was good, yeah.
That I think you would also it would almost necessitate some drastic change, which would be a title change. I mean, if they keep the status quo after that, how are they going to follow up with an actual title change? Like, how are they going to build to that even stronger?
It would depend on the circumstances of Enzo losing.
Yeah,
you know, if Neville got himself DQ'd or out cheated. Then Enzo could say, okay, well, let's do a situation where there is no DQ.
Yeah.
Where you can cheat all you want. Let's do a ladder match, no DQ match, a weapon, something, street fight.
Alex, he makes a point here. He says, Tozawa Kendrick came close to outstaying his welcome. I never felt it did.
No, I never felt that at all.
Simply because every week they would have a new lesson, and each of the lessons were distinct. And then you got to see Tozawa turn it back on him.
There was symmetry to it.
There was symmetry to it, exactly. Yeah. So I personally didn't feel like it did. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they could. I mean, it's 205 Live, and I really like, you know, you and I are both big fans of the writing on 205 Live. So I think they could have Neville retain and continue to keep it interesting. I just really want to see the flip of this now. I think Neville has sort of reached the peak of mocking Enzo and what he can't do in the ring.
I think if Neville beats Enzo by using Enzo's tricks, That's just Neville will say, okay, you obviously can't beat me if we just wrestle, and then you can't even beat me when you cheat.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
That's maybe. Kicking it up another notch.
Maybe.
And so Enzo would have to kick it up another notch by saying, all right, weapons, ladders, tables, chairs, all that.
Yeah.
And that would totally disguise Enzo's deficiencies as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And he can win and be a lot more believable, I feel like.
There you go. That's a solid point today. So, yeah, in any event, I really think, like, you and I are both scared about Enzo showing up on 205 Live in terms of him stealing a spotlight from other wrestlers.
No, they've used his lack of wrestling ability as for storyline purposes, and it's worked really well.
Yeah, I think it has. And I think he generates a very interesting crowd reaction mm-hmm. where, you know, you hear that music and you inherently, it's kind of like when Dolph does his silly thing on SmackDown. You know, you hear DX music, you instantly pop. That's just Pavlovian at that
yeah,
point. You know,
yeah.
It's like everybody knows, everybody completely understands that Dolph Ziggler is about to come out because he literally has been doing this and he said he's going to do it. And there's no reason to believe that Triple H and Shawn Michaels are going to come out. But you hear that music and you pop regardless.
Because of the music. Well, I think with Enzo, it's like people like his opening mm-hmm. promo thing when he comes out. That's, mm-hmm. Everybody knows the words. Everybody can yeah. say it along with them. And it's a communal experience people get into. But then when he starts dropping promos
yeah.
that are different.
Yeah.
I don't think it garners the same reaction.
I really wonder. I have no idea. To this day, I still like to know who the hell writes 205 Live.
I know.
And when they found out that they were going to get Enzo, were they geeked? Because this has worked out really well.
It
you
has.
Have the perfect counter to Neville. Or were they like initially like, oh, man, that sucks. Or I have no idea.
Yeah,
I'd love to know.
Yeah, me
know?
Too.
So anyways. Let's see here. Moving on to NXT.
Yeah.
Oh, it's where my heart is. I freaking love NXT so much. And this week I've got a couple of, I have some visual.
Saw you do something over here.
I was dicking around over there. I'm using the Elgato Stream Deck to add visual
production value.
Yeah, exactly.
So the show kicked off with a match between Johnny Gargano and Tino Sabatelli. Of course, last week or 2 weeks ago, Johnny Gargano took on Riddick Moss.
Yeah.
Beat him.
When was the oh yeah, so was this they did the interview they showed the interview from last
yeah,
week.
Right after Riddick Moss's match against Johnny Gargano.
Right, exactly. They did that right before the match
yeah,
here,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I loved how blown up Riddick Moss was.
Well, he just finished a match.
He was so and he kept on
Well then the interviewer, I can't remember who it was, said, oh, you came up short.
And he said, short.
The only thing short is Johnny Gargano.
The only thing short is They're so bad. They are so terrible. Tino and Riddick. And it's not that. Here's the thing. Tino's been in developmental how long? Like 18 years now?
4 years.
It's been a while. I was actually surprised with his match with Johnny Gargano. He can put on an actual wrestling match now.
Yeah, the transition into the Gargano escape, though, was a little rough.
Yeah, I know.
Johnny had to make sure the arm was in the right place.
Yeah, well, he can't have everything. I mean, wasn't Tino or Riddick, like, the ones responsible for Shinsuke getting hurt in, like, that, like, way back when Shinsuke, when he got injured?
No, Riddick Moss did a move on Itami that got him hurt.
Was it Itami?
Yeah.
I swear, what was the Shinsuke thing then?
I don't think Shinsuke was ever hurt in NXT.
He got injured in NXT. Yeah, he did.
When?
Oh, I don't know. During his run. At some point, he was injured.
I kind of remember that.
All right.
But Moss was involved in one of Itami's injuries.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think it was a deal. So anyways, yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I just laughed at that. I love laughing at Riddick Moss and Tino. I don't know. Here's the problem with Tino Sabatelli. I think he's probably a great heel. Like, if he goes to Maine, like, they can be... What's their ceiling? That look on your face is their ceiling.
I mean, part of the thing with Tino, though, is I think he's already in his mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
And like Nakamura and AJ, you know, they have, yeah, they've been wrestling for 15, 20 years, but they've done a lot.
Yeah.
And if Tino's already that old and has only been wrestling for 3 years,
yeah,
that's a lot of ground to make up.
Let me ask you, why haven't they given him a better gimmick?
I mean, is this what he feels comfortable doing?
Yeah. I mean, at least get rid of the Superman shield with the T and the S.
I know they were talking about how he showed up at Full Sail in a Maserati,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff. So they're focusing on the fact that he's already wealthy.
No, I know, but I mean, come on, if it's not doing anything, he's got that cheesy hair.
Well, they're also not on TV enough to really make a consistent impression one way or the other.
Oh, okay. So Gustavo says Riddick Moss injured a Tommy while a Tommy was tagging with Shinsuke.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
I mean, here's the thing. I'd like to say that I don't like them, but, you know.
The promo that Riddick Moss did here in town was good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was entertaining.
It was fine. They're just so cheesy. They're so cheesy.
Give them time. Maybe they just need more reps.
Give them time. How much more time do they need?
Maybe they just need more reps.
Hey, you never know. 6 months from now, I might be a huge fan. I like seeing them because it's funny. His hair is so cheeseball. He's so cheeseball.
Who, Riddick Moss?
No, Tino.
Oh.
Even his name is so cheesy.
Riddick Moss needs new hair. I was trying to find out how old Riddick Moss was.
Can't find out. Can't figure it out?
No.
Ageless. Anyways, I mean, Gargano looks like $1 million, though. His abs are freaking ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. He's in phenomenal shape.
That guy's fantastic.
Oh, Riddick Moss is 28.
Okay, so he's like, 15 years younger than Tino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tino tapped out, thank goodness, to Gargano.
No, Tino's only 34. I thought he was older than that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So cheesy. Anyways. Next up, we had William Regal in his office. Roderick Strong.
He was telling a story to somebody off camera.
He was telling a great story about a wig.
Yeah.
Some sort of wig. His wig came right off.
And he was interrupted by Roderick Strong.
Hello, Roderick. How are you doing? And Roderick says, Mr. Regal, I want a match. I told Drew McIntyre after Bobby Roode I would come after his title, and I want to do that. Oh, very well, Roderick Strong. You've done everything everybody's asked you to do. Fine. 2 weeks from now, you get Drew McIntyre.
That's pretty much how it went. NXT. I think that's verbatim. You're paying attention to that segment.
I was, man. Hey, I pay ridiculous attention to detail when it comes to NXT.
Yeah.
Ridiculous attention to detail.
So, yeah, in 2 weeks, we're going to get Roderick Strong versus Drew McIntyre for the NXT title.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next, they were talking about...
Although, let me ask you.
What?
That's going to be a swerve, right? That's got to be. I have not looked at the spoilers.
I mean, yeah, it's happened. You can look and see what happens.
I don't want to... I like that. We got to talk about it, man. I don't want to look at spoilers. I know it's happened. That's boring, though. You think Roderick Strong, he's got to be part of the Wing of Honor, right?
Undisputed era. I'm not sure if it's called just the Undisputed or the Undisputed Era.
I think everybody's saying it's called the Undisputed Era. Regardless, this is a terrible name.
Yeah.
This is an awful name.
I mean, I saw the result of their match, but I don't know any details about it. So I probably shouldn't comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, don't do that then. I don't know. Stop looking at stuff. Stop looking at spoilers. What's your problem?
That's none of your business if I look at spoilers or not. Maybe I want to.
It kind of is my business because then I can't. I don't know what to talk about here.
It's your business. It's your business if I spoil things for you, but I don't.
Well, if you can't talk about it openly and speculate openly with a clear mind, not clouded by spoilers, yeah, you're playing with my money.
Well, you'll get over it.
Probably. I'm already over it.
Next, they were talking about the lack of NXT Women's Champion since Asuka vacated the belt. And so Sonya Deville did a promo more or less saying that she's going to be the next champion.
I don't think she is.
No.
How do you repackage her? You have to. It was just announced like officially that what's her face? Shayna Baszler. She signed. Therefore, Sonya Deville. God, I can see it in her eyes too.
How about this? They have a match for the MMA gimmick.
I am in the wrong... Yeah, I know, but Shayna's going to go over.
Yeah.
So we're still at the same
Maybe,
spot.
Maybe
Sonya needs another
Sonya
gimmick.
Sonya Deville. I think Deville is like a car thing. She's a car enthusiast.
Like a 50s car?
Yeah.
Yeah, old Deville.
So you know how like Lacey Evans' gimmick is like a 40s pinup?
Yeah, 40s propaganda pinup.
Yeah, so yeah. Then Sonya Deville can be like a 50s woman.
50s woman?
Yeah.
You're going down a dangerous path there.
No, I mean like in terms of just the aesthetic.
Like a 50s housewife type thing?
No, not necessarily. I mean, she's a car enthusiast.
Oh, a car enthusiast. A female car enthusiast from the 50s. That's a mouthful right there.
It really is. So she can come out kind of like she can have the leather jacket.
Yeah.
The white t-shirt, the jeans.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
A leather jacket, a white.
It's not a good idea.
What about a beatnik? Can she just be a beatnik?
Were beatniks car enthusiasts?
Motorcycle enthusiasts, weren't
they? Not the same thing.
Then they had Deville.
The motorcycle is like a symbol of freedom in the open road.
Do we know that Deville was a car?
Yeah.
Deville car.
It is. Yeah, Cadillac Deville.
Ooh, Cadillac Deville series. Production from 1958. They still make those.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, yeah, that's of 2005.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that came to my head. It's terrible, but no, do you have anything good. Better? No, it's not good.
DeVille.
Do you have anything better?
Change her name to... change her
How
name
How about this?
To...
This is an even better idea. You ever seen the movie Red Sonja with Brigitte Nielsen?
Oh, that's a better idea. Oh, that's a way better idea. Yeah, that's Red actually Sonja. A really good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's good.
And have Arnold walk her down the ring at some major show.
Hey, listen to you. Look at this.
There you go.
Look at this beauty right here.
I redeem myself.
Yeah. She's the best. Say no to gerrymandering.
Arnold. I love Arnold.
Anyway.
Yeah. Next up, we had Lacey Evans.
Alex C. says, dye half her hair white and become Cruella DeVille.
That's really good. That's really good. How about this? She's a movie director, Sonja DeMille.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
How about this? She like gets into like. How about this? Remember John Lovitz on Saturday Night Live when he played the devil?
Yeah.
How about Sonja Devil? But she has like that cheesy like a devil costume.
Yeah.
Like a plastic pitchfork.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
You go to the same Halloween store where Evil bought his sight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the dollar store, Sonja Devil.
Next, we had a match between Lacey Evans and Bianca Belair.
Bianca Belair cracks me up because, number one, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
But number two, what was the look of joy on her face after she whipped Lacey Evans with her hair?
It's very understated still.
I know, but it looked like she wanted to laugh. I don't know if she realized that thing was going to crack the way it did.
They put a bunch of beads in it. And that's why it cracked so much.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I noticed that during the Mae Young Classic. Well done. On the side that's facing outward, there's a bunch of beads, especially toward mm-hmm. the top. So when she hits someone with it, the beads hit together, creating that sound. Yeah. Sort of like when you kick somebody, the sound you hear isn't the kick. It's people slapping their leg.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I knew that. I just didn't know like how she... Because I was going to look to see if like she slapped her leg when she did the whip. Okay.
No, just looking. There's a bunch of little beads in her hair.
All right. Anyway, she beated the crap out of Lacey Evans.
Oh, I know.
It was a good match, though. I like Lacey Evans.
Yeah, both of them are really good. Lacey Evans had a really good match in the Mae Young Classic, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But yeah, Bianca Belair picked up the win with a reverse powerbomb. Big Show's old finisher.
I'm not huge on that. I do not like that move at all because it makes you look like your opponent's like going to land on you.
Yeah, no.
Like you just pick him up a powerbomb and do that. I don't like that. You need something better than that.
Yeah.
Because then you're facing away from the camera. Like you're on the camera doing powerbomb and then you're sort of facing away. I don't like any of that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I love that freaking hair stuff though. That's great. Next up, finally, after months, Aleister Black's going to say his second break because he actually gave a promo on their Instagram account
mm-hmm.
where he's like, all right, you had to find a blank. So Aleister Black comes out. Did you notice again every detail? He's coming up on his thing. Looks like he almost fell off this time.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
He sort of like, I think he jumped the gun a little bit on getting off. And so he was like, oh, like that. One time I'd like to see him just fall off on accident. Anyways. He came out in a dapper looking suit.
Yeah, black shirt, very dark gray suit.
Mm-hmm. You would have preferred track pants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd have been good.
Blue.
Like an 80s hip hop type thing.
Yeah, exactly. That
would have been good too.
Yeah.
Like the little hat
deal. All that.
I said earlier in the pre-show for the patrons, I wanted a Bomber Tenenbaum gimmick.
Yeah, that's good too.
Like that's his civilian gear. Mm-hmm. Like he's all super goth guy when he comes out to fight, when he's going to make some noise on the mic. He comes out in like a polo tennis shirt.
Yeah,
a
collared
really
shirt.
Really short tennis
shorts.
Short shorts,
long socks.
Long socks with stripes.
Some old school Adidas.
Well, I like Pumas. I say Pumas.
Okay.
And then.
I just said Adidas because headband. I think people actually played tennis in Adidas. Yeah.
No tennis racket, though. That's the Jim Cornette thing.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So he hits the ring, takes off his sports coat, rolls up his sleeves, starts talking.
Yeah.
He said he's traveled the world.
I loved
15
his promo.
Years.
I loved his promo.
Went all over the place, got all his experience. He brings all this experience to NXT, and he explains that's what all his tattoos are about.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or his scars, as he put them.
Yeah, he calls them scars. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was fantastic. Because he seems like the kind of guy that, like, you sort of get to know a little bit, and you always think that he's like way cooler than you, but it's like, you're like, doesn't this guy ever fart or like take a crap? Like, what does he look like when he's wiping his butt? Because every look, dude, no matter how cool you are, you can be the coolest dude in the world. Everybody wipes their butt.
Yeah, everybody still poops.
You know? So everybody has human moments no matter how cool you are.
Yeah.
This is one of those guys where it's like, man, I know you're kind of at least 10% full of crap, you know, but he's still really cool.
Yeah, he is really cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so he was doing his thing, and then the Velveteen Dream comes down.
Yes.
And seemingly tries to have sex with Aleister Black.
Well, I guess in his face. And
this was fantastic.
It was really
this
good.
This was like, this was top five segments in wrestling of the year.
Yeah, it was really good.
This was great, partially because of the crowd reaction.
Well, to the end, yeah.
At the end, when he was about to have sex on him, it was great.
Well, because Aleister's sitting in his cross-leg pose, sitting there after he kicks the mic out of Velveteen Dream's hand.
No, don't. That's not a throwaway statement right there.
No, it's not.
The precision
I know
with which that dude dropped his black mass on Velveteen Dream's hand to kick the mic out of his hand. Because Velveteen Dream was doing all this stuff about
saying that he Aleister Black was consumed by darkness, but he couldn't handle the light of the Velveteen Dream.
You need to feel or something like that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fantastic.
It was really good.
Really good. Aleister Black got tired of his talking, black massed his hand, and did the sit-down thing. And then Velveteen Dream, who had, like, been, you know, he'd sort of was shocked.
He was, like, nursing his hand.
Yeah.
And it hurt. And then he kind of got down his knees and got right in Aleister Black's face.
He slithered to him.
No, it was, like, one sudden moment.
Yeah.
Right, movement right to him.
Yeah.
Had a little brief stare down, and then did the slither back out of the ring.
The one motion with which he went up to him looked like they were about to lock lips. Looked like he was about to plant a big juicy kiss on Aleister Black's lips.
And you called it correctly.
I have never heard a gasp slash pop like I saw.
There were people getting out of their seats and clapping.
They were, I know.
It was impressive.
It was like, oh my God, we almost just saw something really, really crazy here. It was, I mean, we did, but like everybody thought it was going to go just that further step. That would have been absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they played it the way they did. It was absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was so perfect.
And then, yeah, he slithers
out of the ring.
Like, crawled backwards out of the ring.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was fantastic. And I read up a little bit, so, like, just because, like, the Leo Rush debut, I read up a little bit about the spoilers about this kind of thing, and it's just, it sounds really, really cool. I'll put it this way. It sounds like they're going to be booking Dream pretty strong.
Yeah.
And that excites the crap out of me, because I honestly didn't think that was going to happen. It's been so superficially this sort of Prince gimmick.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to give it some actual depth.
Oh, I hope so.
Which is what it needs to have a higher ceiling.
Yes.
And that's going
to
be really fun.
I mean, it's sort of like, and I don't really necessarily want to compare the characters, but with No Way Jose, he came out and he was just the Fiesta party guy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then for a little bit in his feud with Austin Aries, they added some dimension to him.
Yeah, I know.
But then they dropped it more or less. They never really built upon that. And hopefully with Velveteen Dream, they'll build upon
right,
it.
Right, right. I hope so.
Next, a kind of awkward, out of nowhere Dakota Kai promo.
Yeah.
She hasn't been in NXT really at all.
Yeah.
And then she was saying that she wants to be the next NXT women's champion, but since she lost the Mae Young Classic, it doesn't feel like that she should even be in the running for that.
I don't think she should be in the running for that. It should be. So I guess that, like, so I read a little bit of spoilers. They're going to have like a series of triple threat matches.
There's two triple threat matches, I believe.
Okay. And then the two winners of those are going to go on to face Kairi Sane.
And then there's one other person that's going to be involved too.
Okay.
Because it's a four-way, a fatal four-way.
It's going to be a fatal four-way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Takeover. Yeah.
All right. I really, it should not be, number one, if it's anybody from the Mae Young Classic, it should obviously be Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
But no, that's not going to happen.
No.
Shouldn't be anybody else from the Mae Young Classic, though.
No, I agree.
Yeah. No, so.
That should be one of the prizes for winning the tournament is being involved in that match.
Yeah.
If you did not win the tournament, you should not be in that match.
Exactly.
Unless you're Candice LeRae.
Well,
I'm
joking.
I'm not serious.
I know, but I'm trying to find a way around, a way to get that happening. this is going to be funny. Oh, what did she say? I'm the captain of Team Kick.
I didn't know any of that meant.
Team what?
Kick.
Kick. What? Kick. Oh, kick.
Kick.
Team kick.
Kick.
Yeah, it was really awkward. I feel like, I don't know. It's like she just witnessed somebody throw up and then they pushed her on camera.
I mean, that's what it was.
Okay, get over on camera. Oh, blimey. That was disgusting. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Dakota Kai. Oh, man. This is great. Next up, we had...
Wait, did you put something on the screen?
What's that?
Did you put something up there?
Or no.
Did you press a button?
I pressed a button because I'm about it. To...
What? Press it again. Press the button again.
Press what button?
Oh, you just transitioned
go this,
this
way.
Okay, gotcha. Now I understand. See? All right, continue. All
right, so anyways, next up, we had...
No Way Jose versus Lars Sullivan.
Lars Sullivan is quickly becoming the going in Raw wrestler of the year. And I've got two examples as to why. I'm going to show them on the screen. For those of you listening at home, we'll describe what we're seeing. This is the little promo still they put up because it's coming up next. Here's that. No Way Jose is firmly looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Why is Lars Sullivan looking in two different places? The camera in one eye and off camera with the other eye. How is that even possible?
I feel like he's looking through the camera.
What is that face? What are those eyes? Where are they looking? Because it doesn't look like it's the camera, but then one of them kind of is. And if No Way Jose is looking at the camera, why isn't he looking at the camera?
I feel like Lars Sullivan is looking at whoever's behind the camera.
He's like waiting for some direction from that guy.
And since the camera's kind of at not a head-on angle,
yeah,
it looks like one eye is looking at the camera, the other one's not. He actually has both eyes fixed on the guy who's behind the camera, just slightly... not in line with the lens.
JT says it was the second photo they took right after the bright flash. Jack Dolan says Lars Sullivan looks like my messed up character from Oblivion. Oh, man. Here's the second thing I love about Lars Sullivan. When he comes out, when he walks out, his music starts playing. His Titantron goes out with his big name on it. He walks out, and immediately he turns away from the camera and bends over. He just points his ass at the crowd.
That's good.
That's the first thing he does.
Yeah, that's good.
What the hell is that? That's amazing.
He's marking his territory. Saying, this is my NXT now.
Oh, man. Oh, God. And then he's just like, dude, he reminds me, I've said this before. But you remember that scene? You remember, sorry, JT. You remember that scene in the Nick when the big burly Irish character mm-hmm. was trying to manage their pro wrestlers from back in 1901 or whatever?
Yeah.
And he loaded up that one dude with some tranks. Or not some tranks, some like...
Uppers.
Uppers. Yeah.
And he
sent him out
right there.
Yeah. And the guy won and then immediately dropped dead.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan looks like a product from 1901.
Yeah, he does.
And it's great. I love every damn second of it. It's amazing. And he destroyed No Way Jose.
Yeah, he did.
It was so much fun. I love him so much.
I am ready right now to declare I'm going in Raw Wrestler.
I think he really should be.
Easily top three.
He comes out. Look at that butt. It's great. Oh, it's fantastic.
So, yeah, he destroyed No Way Jose. Wasn't much
of yeah. No Way Jose.
Top rope, diving headbutt, and then his finisher.
You're done. You are done. Anyways, next up we had...
main event.
Mustache Mountain. Can't say enough about Mustache Mountain.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Trent Seven is my spirit animal, man. I swear, he is... If I could just grow a magnificent beard, I would tell. And he's got great hair too, man.
Yeah, he does.
He's really old too. He's like just a couple years younger than us.
That's good hair though.
It's amazing hair. It's fantastic hair. And he comes out.
He does a slow roll into the ring.
Oh, it's amazing.
He's all charisma.
It is. That body is fantastic too. God, I love that body. It's amazing. Because essentially it's what I look at in the mirror. It's fantastic. Oh, I love it. Anyways, they were taking on Redragon.
Yeah.
With manager Adam Cole, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, the dude can talk like nobody else.
Why has he not dropped the promo in this month on the roster?
It's us. So we do it now.
It's our NXT.
We do it now. Baby.
Undisputed, baby.
We do this now. They don't give him a mic.
I know.
Give him a mic.
Give him a mic.
Man.
Let him talk. We need to hear their manifesto, what they're there to do.
Tell me about it. What the heck?
That's what we need.
Absolutely.
This is a really fun match, though.
This is a blast. This is an absolute blast of a match. Are you kidding me?
We saw Trent Seven Rainmaker.
Yes, we did.
Or Seven
I
Star
always
Lariat.
Love those. I love those.
Trent was in the ring a lot, getting beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hot tag to Tyler Bate.
Right.
Kyle O'Reilly managed to reverse a Tyler Driver into a guillotine. That was cool.
That was rad. That was cool.
That was really cool. Redragon hit like some combo move of a kick and a suplex. This was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
O'Reilly gets on top of Bate for the cover. Just like literally just like Tyler Bate's toe.
The toe, the length of his toe.
Gets on the ropes.
How do these guys do that stuff? How do you know exactly where you are in the ring to the degree that you, within a toe's degree?
Because you've been in the ring a lot.
He's only 21.
I'm sure. You think he hasn't been in the ring?
Or 20.
He's 20. I guarantee he's been in that ring consistently for the last 8 years. He's probably started training when he was super young.
Like 12 years old. You're probably right about that. I know. That's crazy.
At one point, Adam Cole, Bebe, pulls Tyler Bate off the apron, super kicks him.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
It was fantastic. Redragon hit Total Elimination, which I guess is their finisher, too.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Fish picks up the pin on Trent Seven. Mm-hmm. Redragon wins. They will Dragon again.
They will Dragon again.
So they're in the ring celebrating, posing. Drew McIntyre music hits. He comes out. He's wearing, like, normal clothes, jeans, shoes, mm-hmm. no shirt.
And he's growing out his body hair.
Oh, my gosh.
It's fantastic.
Wow.
I love when they do that, man. Remember that weird short spell? I think it was, like, one of Triple H's, like, one of the few matches.
Oh, yeah, when he had chest hair.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know the only person I didn't like chest hair on?
CM Punk.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
He had really thick chest hair, and then his nipples, for some reason, when they looked normal when he shaved his chest hair, but they look like giant hunks of meat.
I wouldn't think his chest hair would work with all his tats on his chest.
Yeah.
It'd be weird.
Yeah, it's all weird, man. It's all weird.
But yeah, Drew McIntyre, awesome.
Oh, his chest hair, it's like, I think it got me pregnant just looking at him.
Me too.
I stared at him, I was like, I'm now with Child.
Man.
With Drew Child.
So he comes in the ring. Undisputed leaves. Undisputed era. Whatever they're called.
Of course. Because Adam Cole's like, you're going to take on all three of us? And I'm sitting there like, yeah, he'd probably eat you.
Yeah, he'd probably
eat you alive, man.
Probably.
Because you're so tiny.
So they get out of the ring. They're standing back by one of the curtains. Sanity jumps them from behind.
Yeah.
They all start brawling.
Mm-hmm.
Right as they're talking trash with Drew.
Yeah.
And then how'd the episode end? It was just Redragon and Adam Cole kind of
they
fleeing
left
the scene,
and they were like mocking still for some reason. And I think the last shot was Drew on like the turnbuckle and Sanity sort of below him, raising their titles.
Yeah.
So I imagine they're probably gonna load up with Roddy and Donovan. That's my guess. But I don't know. Fascinated. Get Adam Cole on that mic, baby.
I know. That should have happened already.
Really should.
It really should have.
Yeah.
Let's take some questions, Steve.
Let's answer some questions.
Son of a farmer, Mitchell Elam. Hey, friendos. Patrick Clark is fantastic, and the Velveteen Dream character is very open, but what if he became the Prince counterpart to Bray Wyatt, and he changed people every time he got into feuds with them? Do you think the character has a higher ceiling than middle, lower card heel?
I think if they continue to book him in this manner, from what I've kind of gathered from spoilers a little bit.
I thought you didn't read spoilers.
I think it's possible. Well, so you can't, like, you know, Leo Rush debuts. Okay, well, let me see what happened there. Mm-hmm. And then they get a spoiler. I think it's possible. I think Patrick Clark is massively talented.
Yeah.
So I think as long as you've got like a really strong talent behind the gimmick, you've got a really good shot.
I think as long as he has a good sense of who his character is and he's given some material to work with.
I will say this, though. Of all the talent in NXT, of everybody in NXT, the one guy that has the biggest shot at being horribly bungled on main roster is the Velveteen Dream. They would have zero idea how to handle that type of character.
Mm-hmm.
They really would. I mean, you would really risk running into some stereotype type stuff. It could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It really could. So, anyways, I hope for the best, though. I really do.
Yeah, me too. Legit Hoss Tony Coyote. Do you think with the way the Velveteen Dream acted last night in NXT, he could be the next Goldust?
I think that's a possibility. I think it's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Those types of characters, yeah. Again, I'm not optimistic about his chances on main rosters because they don't have a great track record
with subtlety. No.
With layers.
That guy. Could Aleister Black be the kryptonite for Braun Strowman when he goes up to Maine? The feud would be epic.
Aleister Black could be legit the next huge star.
Could be.
Like, I really believe that. The guy seems to have so much legitimacy and like it's legitimacy and mystique behind mm-hmm. it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Alex C, do you think this Ring of Honor faction has a bit of an NWO feel about it? He says he really digs their whole presentation.
Well, I think pretty early on we knew what the NWO was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Still know what the Undisputed Era is all about. Why they're in NXT?
I think there's a couple of differences. I mean, the obvious parallel there is the invasion aspect of things, and I get that. I think that's good. Unless they start taking from the established roster, which they might with Roddy, then the parallels get sort of less and less.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see. You know, I sort of go back to Bobby Roode. You know, like he had his mission statement, which they never really referenced again.
Well, I mean, in terms of the specifics, no. But he would continually say, "This is my NXT now."
I know.
Refashion NXT in my image.
But he had kind of a detailed version of what he thought that should be that he never really went back to. So,
unless they start planting people in the audience and not sell those tickets, that's the only way that would have happened.
If Ring of Honor's thing, if Wing of Honor, Undisputed Era, if their thing is to just get themselves over, then I mean, then there are more parallels to the NWO there.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, everybody, it seems to be, I don't want them to start overusing the idea of, this is my NXT.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Roode already said that.
And didn't really play out that much.
Asuka kind of used to reference that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Too many people say, this is my NXT. Can't be everybody's.
No. Steel City champion Benny Yinzer. Do you think we will ever see the UK guys go for the NXT championship or the tag team championships? I would like that.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I, you know, after seeing what they're doing with them right now, I would, you know, there's some motivation for them to be in NXT, so I would love to see them remain in NXT.
Why is your phone making all this noise?
I think that was my phone. But really
is it your iPad?
Oh, it's probably the iPad, yeah.
Eric, let me ask you something, Blaha. Hey, friendos, power rank.
Power rank.
Power rank. Top five ways WB Creative can screw up Aleister Black when he eventually goes to Maine. For example, give him a singing gimmick.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Number five. Number five is...
Have him join the Wyatt family.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, have him be a henchman. Yeah. There you go.
Number four.
Number four, have him feud with Dolph Ziggler. Ooh, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
have him interact at all with Dolph Ziggler.
Three.
That might be number one. Number three, debut him and then keep him off TV.
For 2 months.
Feudless with 2 months. Number one. I'm going to say number one already. I'm going to say number one is... have him be the one in Curt Hawkins 1 Ooh, and 200.
Yeah, that would be bad. Number two.
Number two, have him be the newest colonel from the KFC. As much as I would love to see
that.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
The Unsolved Mystery, Robert Stack. What two wrestlers, one from 205 Live and one from NXT, would you like to see in a best of seven series?
Great question.
Neville and the Pete Dunne.
Yeah.
Because I'm just calling Pete Dunne as part of NXT now.
Yeah. Hamza Halal. I don't remember who said this, but is NXT, quote, just PWG but with air conditioning, or is it completely different? It is different.
Who said that? Who made that remark?
I don't remember, but I've heard that too. There's differences. I mean, NXT, they let them do more, but they don't let them do quite the crazy stuff that they do in PWG.
Yeah.
NXT is still a lot more story focused than PWG is.
Yeah. So we've often said that one of the great things about WWE house shows, and I don't know if this is the same on the NXT house show circuit or not.
Well, I think it kind of is because I think when we went to the, not the one we just went to here in Sacramento, but the first
they were looser. You're right.
Bobby Roode and Noé Jose had a really loose, they had a comedy match.
They were looser. PWG is that, but like times 10.
Yeah.
Like they have serious matches. They have that stuff, but they let them do some wild, crazy stuff. And I've been to NXT and I have not been to a Full Sail TV taping. From what I understand, there is sort of a sense of community there, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. there, I'm not going to say sort mm-hmm. of, there seems to be a distinct sense of community yes. there. PWG is kind of the same, you know, in that respect, I know.
Yeah.
So I think there are parallels. Yeah, you know, I can see there being parallels. Any more questions?
Those are all the ones that I like, but so have at it.
All right. We've kind of talked about this before, but Jamie 10, considering Adam Cole's size and wrestling style, realistically, how do you think he will fare on main roster? You know what, dude? If you look at Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's comparable.
He's fared just fine.
That's what I was saying. Send Adam Cole to SmackDown if the mm-hmm. rosters stay roughly the same.
Yeah, you don't want him in there. You don't want him on the same roster with a bunch of monsters.
No.
You know, obviously.
No. Nathan Ragland, seeing how WWE likes to put two random superstars together these days, what WWE tag team would you like to see? He would like to see Leo Rush and Cedric Alexander as a tag team. That'd be pretty awesome.
Man, way too much movement. They're too fat. I don't want to. That's way too much.
No, it'd be good though.
It's too much motion on the TV.
Too good.
Might break. You might have to put it in. You got to put it in. What's that mode? True motion mode.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
When you go, you go to Best Buy or whatever, and you see their TVs, and they're playing like a Lord of the Rings movie. It looks like it was filmed on like somebody's home movie.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
I hate that.
I can't stand that.
It looks so fake.
I know.
Why would anybody want movies in like 60 frames?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I think that stuff's supposed to be better for sports, but even then, I'm so used to watching TV a certain way that even in sports, when they have that true motion stuff on, it's too sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It's too crisp. There's no blur.
I'm going to call TGX out here for this question because I love TGX.
We never really answered Nathan Ragland's question.
What was his question?
What two superstars do you want to see tag team together?
I'm going to say Lars Sullivan.
Okay.
And
Baron Corbin.
There you go.
All right, go ahead.
TGX has a question here. He says, he's talking about SmackDown a little bit here. He says, is it just a curse of SmackDown that they can use everybody really well except for the most recent NXT call-ups? And how do they fix this? He gives some examples that kind of contradicts himself. He says, Baron was wasted until they brought Ty up. Ty finally started to be used right when they started squandering Shinsuke. Then Shinsuke broke into the main event scene right as Bobby Roode debuted, and now they're squandering him. But every example here eventually got used right. I think Baron Corbin's used about as well as Baron Corbin
was,
be used.
Was utilized fairly well until he got some heat backstage. And even now,
he's in the U.S. title scene.
I don't know
Ty's
if Ty
in the U.S.
ever,
title scene.
But yeah, that's just recently. Before that, Ty really was underutilized.
Yeah.
Shinsuke was treated like a star immediately, but in terms of the actual storylines he's been involved in, they haven't been very good.
They've had bad storylines with him.
Yeah.
It's not that they treat him poorly. They just have been bad storylines.
Yeah, and then Bobby Roode has been on TV twice.
Bobby will be fine. You know, I've been thinking about that. Some people think Bobby might be better as a face anyways.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Here's the thing. We've never seen Bobby as a face. Let me ask you.
He was a face in TNA.
Here's the thing.
Beer money.
Man, don't act like you know anything about TNA. Get out of here with that.
I knew he was a face in TNA.
You just
obviously know
that.
Obviously, you didn't even know that.
No,
beer
I,
money.
No, I did know that. I mean, we haven't seen him as a face in his current incarnation.
He used to have long
hair. Yeah. What, have you been watching the Pro Wrestling Channel on Pluto TV?
Nope, I just know these things.
Oh, okay, good. Who was his tag team partner?
James Storm.
Very good. I'm glad you know
Come
that.
Come on.
What faction was he a part of?
Beer money.
Well, that is true. Okay, I think it was Fortune.
Fortune.
I think it was Fortune. Here's the thing about Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode's talented enough to make anything work.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When he was a heel in NXT, what exactly did he do that was all heelistic? That was all that much as a heel.
Heelistic?
Yeah, that's my new word. You like it? He wasn't even that... We love Bobby Roode because he's Bobby Roode.
He just insulted the NXT universe. That's pretty much it.
He had some really good burns on Roderick Strong and his weird kid.
He did.
Which was amazing. But he won his matches clean.
Yeah, he never really cheated, no.
He never really did anything. So screw it. Let's bring him in as a face. Why not? Maybe Vince is a genius, Larson.
No, I like Bobby Roode's character in NXT. He's entertaining.
Okay, but he can be entertaining. He can do the exact same thing.
That's what I just said. Is Bobby Roode's talented enough that he can probably make anything work?
Not probably. Definitely will.
In fact, the first time I said it, he can make anything work.
He just needs to be on TV.
Beer money.
That'd be okay. I don't know why you keep on saying that. So anyway.
It's weird when the last NXT house show we went to, some people were still chanting beer money. It's like, was beer money really that over? First of all. Second, James Storm's nowhere to be found in NXT these days. He was there for like a week, decided he'd rather take more money to go back to Impact.
I know.
No beer money.
He's like, my paychecks were late, but they're bigger.
Yeah, when they eventually came.
Anyway, one last question here because I like this. Jack Dolan, he's always chock full of good questions. Power rank, the best things about your job.
I'm wearing track pants right now, number 5.
Well, I'll piggyback on number 5. I got basketball shorts. And socks.
We can
on.
Work comfortably.
Exactly.
Don't have to wear anything. Certain.
Well, number 4 is specific to me. I work from home.
I work from home sometimes, but I'm not here.
That's true.
Working from home.
Number 3.
Make our own hours.
Yeah.
I mean, we have made our own hours, and we're pretty strict about holding to those hours, but we've made our own hours.
Yeah, we make our own hours.
We don't have to work 9 to 5.
It always cracks me up when I go get a haircut. And they're like, so you got the day off today?
Oh, I know.
Nope.
I make my own hours.
And they get all so confused.
I'm my own boss.
What? How do you do that?
That's number 1. We're our own boss.
Yeah.
Don't answer anybody.
Oh, no, dude.
What?
Number 1 is, ain't nobody can ever lay us off.
Well, that's part of being your own boss, too.
I know.
You call the shots.
I really wish you were more enthusiastic about when I said the specifics of nobody can lay us off. Because getting laid off is the worst freaking feeling in the world. Now nobody can do that. I mean, YouTube could theoretically stop working, in which case. But still, nobody can say, hey, you're out of here. Nobody can say that. I think we still need a number 2.
We're our own boss.
Well, you already said that. It's number 1. We're our own boss.
Oh.
I don't have to deal with anybody but this guy.
And
I'm so used to dealing with him, I can go on autopilot.
Beer money.
There's no office politics here.
None.
None. There you go.
None. There's no drama.
Anyways, that's it for now. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Patrons, stick around because we have a post show to get through with
Correct.
You people. And, until next time, we will talk to you guys. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.